I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by CECOM. I'm at CECOM's offices in Johannesburg to talk to Kevin South, the company's head of digital and customer experience, about the hot button topic of digital transformation. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Duncan.
So you're the head of digital and customer experience. What does that role entail exactly?
Digital and customer experience from a CECOM perspective is all about how we transform our organization to be more digitized, to be more streamlined, more automated, more relevant from a systems operations process perspective. And then the customer experience side is how we do all of that to enable the ideal customer journey. Mm-hmm. Within CECOM.
So I've heard this. Obviously heard this term digital transformation bandied about so many times in the past couple of years, but I must say I'm still not 100% sure exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it may mean different things to different people. When you hear companies talking about digital transformation, what does it mean to you?
For me, if I look back traditionally at South Africa, we've always been a country that has been ahead of the curve, so to speak, when we talk about technology. I think about mobile and mobile adoption in South Africa back in those days, around 95, 96. I think about MPLS VPN solutions, specifically in the ICT space. You know, we really were ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. And for me, digital is also about that. In fact, we ranked 10th out of world countries with regards to digital transformation. Mm-hmm. So digital transformation for me, if you look at the looming fourth industrial revolution, it's really how companies start to embrace technology and systems and how we look at streamlining, automating those mundane admin tasks. And how we start to transform the business to be more agile in the way we adapt to customers' demands. And then how we ultimately we want to improve on the efficiency, reduce operating costs. It's trying times right now. The economy is both nationally and globally is a bit of a challenge right now. So how do you find the best way to move that order form from lead to billing stage in the most efficient and cost-effective way? And that for me is what digitization and digital transformation is all about. Pinned on that is also the cultural component around that. So as much as we might talk about it from a technology perspective, the cultural change is also a key player in this transformation. And so how do you get the people on board and the roles and the relevant streamlining of those admin tasks into more analytical type tasks? That really for me is what digital transformation is about.
So it's more than just a buzzword, but how advanced are South African companies in their thinking around this stuff? I mean, you mentioned how we were pioneers, particularly in things like MPLS technology. How advanced are our big corporates in looking at this stuff?
Look, I think you just need to look at your insurance and your banking institutions. Okay. I mean, those are, for me, the pioneers right now. The names of the likes of the FNBs, the Discoveries. These companies really have seen the light a lot earlier. Mm-hmm. And so they've started adopting this transformation stage a lot earlier in their stages of evolution. So those are some of the pioneers for me. But if you look at your SMEs, I mean, the SMEs really are the ones who have embraced this. So moving away from your traditional CapEx models into your OpEx-based models, putting stuff in the cloud, really sort of, leveraging open source technologies to again, fulfill those tasks that traditionally you would need a person to be doing. They now got software applications freely available online to assist them in doing that. So back to your question, I think we really are quite advanced in South Africa and Africa with regards to embracing this digital transformation.
Is it cloud computing that's underpinning all of this? Because, I mean, that's a fundamental shift that we're seeing in the IT industry. The IT industry goes through these periodic shifts, such as, for example, the move from mainframe to client-server computing back in the 80s and 90s. Is it this imperative to move to the cloud that's actually underpinning this digital transformation project?
I think it's definitely a key player in this. I wouldn't necessarily say that it is underpinning it completely, but it's definitely a major component to it, yes. In fact, one of the key mechanisms with regards to digitizing your organization is that if you do choose a technology stack, go fully into that technology stack. you know, if you tend to kind of leave half of it on mainframe, half of it in the cloud, you might, you know, have some challenges with that. But I definitely think it is a key component in digitization. Yeah. Yes.
So go all in, you're saying, because there's a lot of discussion around that.
there is quite a bit, so that might be met with some interest. But for me, I think where it makes sense, and I think that's also another key component. You know, where there's certain information that you cannot, make available publicly, and you need to go the private cloud option. Mm. Then that's the way you need to go. But again, cloud being the key word.
Yeah.
And where you can enable or embrace the public cloud side of things from a, most importantly from a customer experience perspective, well then yes. So cloud for me is the buzz, yes, and it is a key enabler to digital transformation, but it's creating that right fit for your organization, that sort of hybrid model,
Okay. So obviously these conversations are going on in corporate South Africa right now. What conversations do you think CEOs, for example, should be having with their CIOs, and what should CIOs be telling their CEOs to do, and how should they be directing their thinking? Mm. I think often the view might be that, hey, things are running pretty well the way they are. Why should we go through the friction of massive change?
Yeah, I think the conversations for me that are being had at that level are really around customer centricity and customer experience. Mm. As much as you might think that your business is fine and why should we change it, I can assure you, your customers are changing, mm-hmm. and with the advent of your Gen Zs coming through the line and what have you, the model with which your customers consume you and your products and services has changed. In fact, not is changing; it has changed. So I think the conversation there is around what do our customers want, what do our customers expect from us as an organization, and then the simplification. So the CIO for me is having the conversation around, well, yes, we might be doing it this way and we've been doing it that way for so long. But I can tell you now, any process is not perfect, and there's always an opportunity to refine or re-engineer processes to improve and simplify, the workflow through the organization. So for me, that's another key area. I think enterprise architecture is definitely a discussion that's being had very much at a CIO level. Is how do I implement the right architecture for my organization to enable these different processes to move that.
And you have to get that right first.
You have to get that right first. Yeah, that's as much as cloud is one of your main frames, your enterprise architecture is another foundational building block that you need to make sure is optimized for your business.
Yeah.
And then I think clarity on the proposition for your customers. Your products tend to evolve when you start looking at digital transformation. So keeping an eye on what's happening in the market and the old GE example, where they had to adapt and mold their organization, the same thing is happening in boardrooms across every organization today. Mm. How do I remain relevant? How do our products and services evolve to stay relevant? I think another key thing, especially at a CEO level, is what impact is this going to have on my company's transformation? How are we going to be doing business 5-10 years from now? And what people are we going to be hiring in the organization? So those conversations are being had. Mm. There's definitely, obviously, the cost factor. So, where can we improve on the bottom line?
Yeah.
Or EBITDA is the latest buzz at the moment.
Yeah.
So where can we improve on that? And that's obviously important for both CIO and CEOs.
And CFO. Especially.
Exactly. And valid points. If you're going to go anywhere down this journey, you've got to have the CFO on board as well.
Yeah.
It's a key component to enabling digital transformation in the business. So I think the key point there is it's not, it can't be in silos. This is a company-wide initiative.
But you probably don't want the CFO running things
because
focus there tends to be on where can we cut costs rather than how will this help grow the business.
Yes, yes. So as much as you're keeping the CFO has also got to understand that there is going to be a level of investment required very much up front in order to enable this with the long-term benefits that we'll start to see. As we improve efficiencies and direct cost reduction, so yes, it's a two-way street, so to speak. Yeah,
and I guess this is really something that has to be driven by the company itself. In the past, I think there's perhaps in some organisations been an over reliance on an over-reliance on the IT vendor that works with them to drive their strategy around IT. And I suppose there's a danger that IT vendors tell their clients they have to go through these big projects and this is the way you have to do it because, you know, it's more in their financial interests than their customers. And, of course, there have been so many stories over the years about companies implementing big ERP projects, for example, that have gone pear-shaped. And I've lost count how many JSE-listed companies have gone through enormous pain and actually put in their results presentations, the results announcements, we went through this big ERP project and that's actually hurt us financially. So there's probably some good reason for skepticism, especially around promises made by IT companies about the benefits of digital transformation.
Yes. Yeah, I think definitely, you know, choosing the right partners, choosing the right vendors to support you in this journey is of utmost importance. Mm. And getting them to understand that it's all about your business objectives. Ultimately, you're here to sell a product and service, and it's not necessarily an IT solution. You know, your products and services, what you're selling, yeah, and the IT infrastructure and the architecture needs to enable that. So, you know, coming in and whipping out systems and replacing them with the next killer app, mm-hmm, I'm sorry, I don't believe that that's possible anymore.
Yeah.
So it's really about, you know, having a partner. Very much how we've built our organization. It's built on partnerships, the right people coming together to deliver those results,
yeah,
either for ourselves or for the end customers.
Mm.
So, yes, it's about having the right partner. You know, key things like pay-as-you-use or pay-as-you-grow solutions are very important. Many of these technologies require massive upfront capex or, you know, professional services to implement them. When you have options available nowadays of the open source, which is on a cloud-based software as a service model, and you can consume it as you grow.
Yeah. So it's made it easier to tinker and experiment and fail quickly.
Exactly. So the fail fast, agile strategy is definitely key to,
yes,
to from a partner perspective as well as internally.
So in your view of the days of these massive 100, 200, 300, 400 million rand IT projects in the past?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. No, I was recently fortunate enough to take over one of the business systems areas within our organization. And the very first thing we did was put a stop to those big projects.
Mm-hmm.
It was really about embracing our partners, bringing them closer, letting them understand our strategy, and most importantly, letting your vendor partners work collaboratively across each other. Often what companies do is you've got one department running a project with their resources, and then you've got a separate department running another project with their resources, and the two don't even talk to each other.
Mm.
And you're expected to collectively deliver an outcome from the business.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So we were very instrumental in bringing our partners together, including all role players in daily stand-ups, in Scrum sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that really has helped us to deliver more quickly and the right projects,
yeah,
for the organization to meet objectives.
And I suppose embarking on a company-wide process like this enables you to really have a proper look at what you're running. And you're right, companies have built these silos of technology, and it's,
yeah,
you know, it's legacy stuff. And I mean, we see it in the banks. They use tons of middleware to try and get all these systems to talk to each other. And so I suppose these projects allow you to say, well, let's clear out some of this clutter. Do we actually need this system? Can we put this in the cloud? Can we just remove all this complexity and make the organization more agile and then more responsive in turn to customers?
100%. So that goes back to your process reengineering.
Yeah.
You know, that goes back to looking at it, well, if I've got a bit of information sitting at the beginning of the process that I can reuse further down the process, well, then having the right single middleware layer to orchestrate that data between the various systems makes sense.
Mm.
And you can reuse those services or those microservices that you've created within your middleware further down the line, further in the customer journey. Very much what we've started doing now is looking at that entire end-to-end chain and looking at the data. And I think that raises a very, very important point. It's very much around the data.
Mm.
'Cause ultimately that's what it is. It's bits and bytes and how we're moving that piece of information through the various systems and through the organization to deliver,
yeah,
at the other end. That's critical.
Mm. So invariably there'll be someone in a company somewhere listening to this podcast and they're just starting out on this journey, starting to think about how they do it. What advice would you give to them? What should they be focusing on before they even think about embarking on a project like this? And what are some of the pitfalls they should be aware of that other companies have perhaps gone through?
Yeah, you know, I kind of started with it. Well, I mentioned it now. I'm talking about the data.
Yeah.
The data for me is critical. If you don't understand your information, you're starting on the back foot. So, you know, pulling out those spreadsheets, getting those spreadsheets out of the different silos, putting them into a shared environment where there's more people looking at it and understanding the information, enabling ownership of that data. So, you know, which department, which area, which function owns that piece of data and is the master of that data?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite important. I think another sort of pitfall to look out for is, you know, 3-5 year technology plans or strategies when it comes to digital and digitization are, I dare to say, a bit archaic. You know, the world is changing so fast. Your customers are changing so fast. You need to be agile and adapt to those changes. So having, yes, there's the longer term view of where you want to go and where you want to be as an organization, but, you know, keeping those in, keeping your plans short term, streamlined, agile, I think are very, very important. Not overcomplicating things. Keep it simple, so to speak. It's another key area. Most, and if not the most important, is having buy-in at all levels, including shareholders. So again, back to the whole discussion around budgets and investments in this, but you also have to have buy-in at every single department level, and every single C-level department needs to be part of this. And you've got to have one key sort of custodian. In many organizations, it's the CEO, and that's definitely where it should be.
So the CEO should take responsibility for this thing?
Well, at least from a sponsorship level, yes. Okay. The message to the business, to the shareholders, and down to the resources within the organization needs to be that the CEO is on board with this.
Because if he doesn't send out that message, then...
Yeah, then where's that... Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen.
Pretty much. But then, you know, you tend to have your CDO, which is a new C-level that's sort of reared its head over the last few years. Which is Chief Digital Officer.
Okay. So, and distinct from the CIO.
Correct, yes. Yes, so
I'd imagine working quite closely with the CEO.
Very much so, yeah. So it depends on your organization. I mean, you know, some organizations, large organizations, have the ability to bring in those various heads into the different business organizations. But as an example, in ours, we've recently appointed our new CIO, who's now taken that sort of role from a delivery perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, still supported very much by a CEO. So you've got to have that level of buy-in. Again, I mentioned it earlier, don't ignore the cultural impact that this can have.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important. We're actually in the process, and we've embarked on 2 cultural transformation programs. One is digital, and the other is the customer experience. And it's very much around your people, giving them, allowing people to take ownership of these projects. Often companies tend to put a theme behind it. So it's a journey or a tribe type mentality that we're all driving towards one common goal. So I think that's quite important. We've spoken a little bit about fail fast process re-engineering, but I think also, you know, the risk component, especially in the telecom space, we tend to be risk averse. When you're talking about digital transformation, you have to start to almost take that leap of faith in many areas. And with the fail fast methodology, you know, try it. If it doesn't work, well, then we change it and we move forward again.
Yeah.
So don't get stuck in that mundane, you know, sort of archaic type thinking where, you know, let's test the waters and let's be hesitant. And I think you've got to have an element of risk.
And it's very easy to fall into that trap.
Very easy. Yeah. So maintain focus on the goal and the end objective. I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
And I think another key thing for me is don't try and reorganize the entire business. It's you know, it's not like throwing out existing processes, structures. That's not the way to do it. I think building it within your existing structures, but, you know, potentially as a separate stream, is sometimes a better way to go than literally reorganizing the entire.
How do you decide? I mean, it is a bit of a controversial one. How do you decide whether to actually go head first into re-engineering the organization or doing some sort of side project? Because I suppose the difficulty and the risk is if you do it as a side project, people will say, oh yeah, those guys are you know, they're doing fancy stuff, but they're not actually running the business.
No, look, I think you know, as much as it's a side project, the area you can choose to tackle could probably be the most important area. So as an example, you might want to look at your entire lead to order stage. that's one very key component. That's getting a quote in front of a customer and getting sign-off and into your delivery area. So yes, it might be a sideline project, but you're probably touching 80% of the customer's journey with that one sideline project.
Yeah.
And so keep the existing projects running or the existing structure and operating model in place, but using some POC customers, ring-fenced base, ring-fenced segments, product sets, you name it. There's various ways you could do this and see how you can improve and digitize those. And once you've got that working, then you can switch it over to the rest of the organization. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay. So I want to unpack some of these points in a little bit more detail. You mentioned the importance of first understanding your own data sets before you can even think about doing this stuff. Probably easier said than done, though. Companies are sitting on an enormous amount of data that's growing daily. And it's sitting in all sorts of repositories all over the organization. Probably some of it sitting in internal databases, some of it sitting in the cloud, some sitting in siloed departments where other parts of the business don't have sight of it, all that sort of thing. How do you get control and a handle on what you actually have, first of all, and then understand why that data might be important to you?
I think it starts with the mindset. In some cases, it starts with the policy, a data governance policy. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to take ownership of our data. We need to consolidate it, and so that kind of tackles the getting your hands on it. Because to your point, it's sitting in different areas, departments, on people's laptops, in people's heads.
You've got to figure out where it is.
So, so we've been through an extensive exercise as an example of understanding what we call our as-is. So it's really going to every department and saying, let me understand, again, based off the back of your customer. So I mentioned earlier, your customer-centric focus or view is looking at it from the customer's journey through the organization, understanding the steps within that journey, and then starting to gather the processes and the information and the IP around that. And you'll very quickly find there's a lot of content that you can get your hands on. Spreadsheets, PDFs, videos, you name it. And so it's about getting that information and first mapping it out and understanding your as-is. From there, I really think the next step is a technology step. There's various application providers out there, especially at the middleware layer, who have the ability to ingest this information in various forms into one centralized point. So, you know, putting it into a quarantine space or into a BI tool is probably the next best step. So you are consolidating that all into one area or even an archive. You know, that could also be another area that you put it into. And once you've got it in there, the next step for me is understanding what your model is for your organization. So we call it an entity relationship model or an ERM model. So understanding, you know, what is a customer to me? A customer is a name, is a physical address, is a telephone number. Then what is a product to me? And a product has various attributes associated to it, quantity, size, IP ranges, you name it. And so really getting your head around what your data structure looks like and ideally what you want it to look like. So now you're starting to define your 2B. So you've gone from as is, gathering the information, understanding where you are, understanding the architecture around that data, and then you define what your 2B is. So you start looking at that customer experience again, and ideally what your customers are asking of you, and you start mapping that out into your 2B, and then from there it becomes a gap analysis.
Yeah.
How do we move from here to here? So things like, as I said earlier, you know, assigning data stewards, people who are now looking at that quarantine data and understanding where the difference is between either the different silos or the different systems or the different processes, and then being able to make decisions on how we tweak or improve that. And then, again, technology comes into play where if you've got the right middleware with the right integration between your systems, at the click of a button, you can effectively start updating these different applications with the right data in the right systems.
Yeah.
Sounds easy. It's not. It will take time.
But there are tools that do.
But there are tools.
Business intelligence tools. I'm sure there are AI tools even that can crunch this data and decide what it is.
Exactly. And very much the human factor does come into play.
Yeah.
Something we've really found is, you know, the tools will guide you and they will give you some insights, but it still takes that human sort of gut feel to look at that information and go, no, this is where we need to fix it. This is where we need to fix it. And so it's a collaboration across systems and people within the organization.
And once you've cleaned up, if that's the right phrase, this data, is that when you can start looking possibly at putting the stuff in the cloud and transforming the way your processes work?
So that is one of the steps. There's a few steps, and we'll talk about it a bit more now, which needs to be run in parallel. You've got to bring four of them together. So one of the key steps you've got to bring together is the data. It's the people, so the cultural side of things. It's that buy-in, and then it's the IT and tools, the buy-in at the C-level, and then it's the IT and tools to support that. Mm-hmm. You've kind of got to land all four of those initiatives at the same time. And yes, cloud is one of those.
Right.
Yeah, your enterprise architecture, yeah.
So one of your points is always put the customer journey first, and that seems to be an obvious one. But I guess that the danger in these big projects is you end up doing a lot of navel gazing instead of focusing on what's really important.
Yeah, very much so. I think the stats nowadays are sitting around 85% of digital transformation strategies fail. A lot of companies tend to, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but they tend to look inside out.
Yeah.
So they tend to look at, okay, well, you know, what do our existing processes look like, and what do we think we should do to fix this? Mm. And unfortunately, you know, in many instances that's failed. It's
because they don't actually know.
Exactly. You've been doing the same thing the same way 10, 15, 20 years, and you're looking and going, but it's fine, it's great. You know, we're putting, I don't know, 150 orders through our books every month. You know, that's fantastic. Whereas your demand from a customer perspective is, well, we want 300 orders out of you. Mm. And so it's that kind of view of looking at it from the customer perspective. We've embarked, and many companies have, use your Rate My Service type campaigns. So a lot of companies have embraced that now, especially in South Africa. At the end of every conversation that you're having with the customer, either telephonically or via email, you're asking how rate me at this particular point within that sales journey. And that goes down to a departmental level, goes down to a resource level. Mm-hmm. And so those customers are giving you such tangible information that you can use at every single stage of your journey. How do you take that information, bring it back into your organization, prioritize it, and then make those changes that you need to? So for me, it starts with the customer journey, but definitely there's the process reengineering that needs to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you also talk about the need to relook and redesign processes in the organization. Maybe just take us through that.
Yeah, I mean, if I could use some examples, traditionally coming from a wholesale type environment, we had the opportunity to, you know, literally walk order forms through a process, through a business. It was really going from department to department, person to person, and getting sign off. And it makes perfect sense for our business, because when you're talking large deals and large contracts and large sales cycles, you know, that process makes sense for us. But as we transformed into being more direct to corporate and customers, that changes the ball game or the landscape significantly. So the new thing for us right now is looking at what we call STP, or straight through processing, where you're taking 80% of your processes or your order forms, or you know, service delivery, you name it, billing. And you're looking at those processes and you're completely re-engineering them. You're taking that manual, you know, reliance on human to capture from system to system, and you're allowing the systems, based on the right entity model or entity relationship model that I spoke about, to be able to move that data through the systems. So that's what we call straight through processing, removing the mundane admin tasks and bringing in that automation. And that really, for me, is what digitization within your organization is all about.
Yeah. So it really means an overhaul of your operating model as well.
Yes. Again, though, in stages.
Yeah.
Not the entire business at once.
So, yeah. You don't want to tackle a project like this all at once, because it's probably going to fail.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We haven't spoken, and maybe to wrap up, Kevin, you know, there's a lot of, especially when people talk about fourth industrial revolution, I think there's a lot of concern that, I mean, people have, I think they get into their minds pictures of robots taking away jobs, even white collar jobs. What is the impact on not only on culture but on employment inside organizations? I mean, how much, and do companies take this seriously enough? Because I imagine people, especially in administrative roles, are going to see their jobs at the very least, changing quite significantly. Mm. Is it something companies take seriously enough when they embark on these sort of projects? And what are some of the impacts that we're seeing?
No, look, I think it's definitely something that companies consider. Mm. I mean, you'd be foolish not to. And I think we'd be naive to think that it's not going to have an impact on your resources. Ultimately, what you're doing is you are changing the way people work.
And
people are resistant to change. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really, you know, getting people to buy into the change and the transformation and the benefit that it has, not only for the organization, but for themselves as well. You know, I often think to some of my daily activities and tasks, and most of it is sitting inside an application, recapturing information that I got from somewhere else, where I'd much rather be looking at a dashboard or a report of sorts and making strategic decisions. So that to me is far more beneficial to the organization than having a resource sitting there capturing that information. So I think that's where people need to start to expand their understanding of what this really means, and that potentially there's actually a new role for me within the business, one that's far more analytical, far more strategic. You know, I'm becoming a key stakeholder in decision making and how I move that information through the business, as opposed to just sitting there capturing it into a system. So, but again, there are going to be areas, and depending on industry, depending on organization, depending on size, where you will see some jobs potentially at risk. But then for me, what's important is, how does the leadership understand that?
Yeah.
And then how do we repurpose those individuals into different roles, into new roles that do align with our customer experience and what our customers are expecting of us.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily getting rid of the staff, it's how do you repurpose those resources? Mm. And ultimately, you know, there's an opportunity here for those resources to upskill themselves in other areas.
Must be, actually, thinking about it must be such a critical component of any project like this, because you know, you want your staff to buy into this sort of thing. You want your staff to embrace the change and get excited about the change. But if that's not managed very carefully from the top, you could find a situation where people become despondent, where they start to resist what you're trying to do. And I suppose managing that and understanding how to manage that from a very early from the very early parts of embarking on a digital transformation project is absolutely critical.
Absolutely critical. As I mentioned earlier, you've got that sort of giving it a theme, giving it a reason, giving it a tribe mentality. You know, we are moving forward. We are driving forward for one objective. That's critical. Everyone's a critic. And you're going to come up against a lot of that.
Yeah.
But again, to your point, it's very important that C-levels and senior management keeps the people involved every step of the way. Communication is critical.
Yeah.
Where are we? What are we delivering? How are we achieving against our objectives? Small changes, quick, big wins within the organization. Another key way is getting people involved. As much as we might resist the change, if we're part of it, it becomes a completely different conversation.
Because we're sure that we own it.
Exactly. So how do we get you involved in testing new features, testing new functionality, demos?
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things are a very important way. And then ultimately, I think the biggest win for me is humility. You know, everyone just understanding that you know, there is a bigger objective for us all to achieve. And instead of potentially, you know, fighting it, how do we come together? How do we embrace it?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I think the reasons and the values are true. It's just, how do we make it happen together?
Mm-hmm. Kevin South is head of digital and customer experience at Secom. Thanks for a great discussion and for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks very much, Duncan. Appreciate it.